This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Brain injury occurs suddenly without warning. In an instant, life is changed forever. Every day we participate in activities that produce endless risks for sustaining a brain injury. Imagine a car accident while driving to the grocery store, a fall from a bike, or a blow to the head. Although each individual is unique, the effects resulting from a brain injury are often similar and can include difficulty with memory loss, impaired reasoning skills, and a tendency toward one-track thinking. Emotional and social effects can also follow. Brain injury affects a significant number of people each year, and the numbers are reaching epidemic proportions. Brain Injury Awareness Month, which is marked in June each year, is an important opportunity to draw awareness to the daily challenges faced by the brain injured and their families, and to share information, knowledge, and inspiration to improve their quality of life. We're joined in the studio by Mark Busby, Executive Director of Nanaimo Brain Injury Society, and by Tony Van Beert, who is marking 10 years as a brain injury survivor. Welcome to People First Radio, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony, how were you injured? What happened?
I was involved in the logging industry. The job I had was falling timber was the second most dangerous job in the world, crab fishing in Alaska being the most dangerous job. In through my job, I was struck from behind from a tree, and I lost consciousness and ended up flown into the hospital. And at the time, I didn't really feel that there was too much wrong with me. But as time went on, there was definitely some issues with my physical issues and my mental issues that kept cropping up.
How did the injury affect your life?
I would say a lot of times that I had trouble processing a lot of thoughts, making complete thoughts. Lots of times I needed to be in a quiet place all by myself to think things through. A lot of distractions, a lot of confusions. It was just nicer to be by myself quietly where I was most comfortable.
How were the people around you affected, your family members or friends and acquaintances?
That I am very lucky with, that I have a family that loves and supports me, and the statistics are not very good for people with head injuries, for breakups of marriages and relationships. So I was very lucky that I had a good base around me to help me through with a lot of my issues.
Mark Busby, is Tony's story the typical experience of people with brain injuries?
I think you said it at the beginning, Kevin. The brain injury tends to be a very unique experience for people that have a brain injury. But that said, there are a number of things that we hear often, frequently, from Tony and people like Tony, that includes issues with judgment, perception, memory is a very big thing that people tell us about, having experiences with memory, but also it can also lead to difficulties with relationships, maintaining relationships, and responsibilities that people perhaps were accepting before the brain injury, as an employer, employee, as a husband, a brother. So yeah, there are things certainly that we can generalize, but never forgetting that it's a unique experience for the individual involved.
What are the things that can lead to relationship difficulties, as you were describing, for people with brain injuries?
The number of things. Commonly we hear stories perhaps about folk who find it a little more difficult after brain injury to perhaps manage certain behaviours, certain anger may come out. People find it difficult to maintain employment. The statistics point to something like 20% of people who have sustained a brain injury never return to employment. So that would have quite an impact on the family.
Tony, you're marking 10 years as a survivor of brain injury. What would you say was the largest challenge that you had to face along the way in your recovery?
I would say that the idea of when I finally have been tested and to look at that piece of paper and say, is that really where I'm operating? I don't believe it. So that, I think, took a long time to sink in as far as reality goes. And that I think, acceptance is a big part of having your brain injury, is being aware and accepting for who you are and the changed person that you are, and work within those parameters.
This is People First Radio, only on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca.
The social consequences of a brain injury can be devastating. Many people report losing friends and having difficulty cultivating and maintaining new friendships. These difficulties can result from the person experiencing problems with communication. Imagine the frustration of having difficulty remembering ideas and communicating them coherently and logically during a conversation. Loudness of the speech and knowing when it is appropriate to speak are examples of social skills that we all take for granted. In addition, subtle social skills may have been lost. Brain injury occurs suddenly, without warning. In an instant, life is changed forever. Brain Injury Awareness Month, which is marked in June each year, is an important opportunity to draw awareness to the daily challenges faced by the brain injured and their families, and to share information, knowledge, and inspiration to improve their quality of life. We're joined in the studio by Mark Busby, Executive Director of Nanaimo Brain Injury Society, and by Tony Van Beert, who is marking 10 years as a brain injury survivor. Mark, what are some of the key messages that are delivered during Brain Injury Awareness Month?
One of them is prevention. There's a number out there that 90% of traumatic brain injuries are preventable, and something like 88% of bicycle-related brain injuries could be prevented through the use of an appropriate helmet for cycling. So prevention is certainly a big a message that we'd like to promote, and also awareness, because I think, as you've said, as you both said, brain injury is regarded as a silent epidemic, and people with brain injury are at risk of isolation and exclusion, and that's something that we have to draw out of the shadows. There's a lot of new research and science out there now that shows that people with brain injury can and do make recovery, good recovery. And Tony's explained a little bit about his story, how his journey, and how over his 10 years he's sort of almost reinvented himself in many ways. So it's a dual message: prevention and awareness.
Tony Van Beert, I'm wondering if you have a personal sense of the messages that you'd like to communicate about head injury. What would you like people to know about brain injury?
I think at first everything's a little bit scary. Everything's a little raw. But I encourage a lot of people to go out and seek rehabilitation. Go out and contact a service that's available in your community, like the Nanaimo Brain Injury Society, and just go into that with an open mind to clear your confusion, to clear, and knowledge is power. So keep moving forward.
It sounds like there's a combination of warning messages in terms of prevention and also messages of hope for people that have sustained brain injuries. Mark, I'm wondering if you could tell us more about the status of prevention, given that a lot of media attention has been directed at concussions that occur, for example, during high school or sports environments in which young people are injured.
Yeah, and again, I think there's a lot more evidence now coming forward that is showing that really isn't such a thing as concussion. We really need to be looking at it in terms of mild traumatic brain injury. Concussion isn't just this benign phenomena. It does have consequences, and there are approaches that we can take to somebody that has experienced a concussion to help them recover from that concussion. We have to be, I think we have to be very, very mindful of the activities that we do. Nobody's saying that we shouldn't involve ourselves in risky activities, but let's do it thoughtfully. Let's wear a helmet if we're going to ride a bicycle. Think about things like if we're riding bicycles in lanes where there isn't a high density of motorized vehicles, things that we can do.
We have just a moment left in our conversation today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add, perhaps something about the Nanaimo Brain Injury Society.
We're open Tuesdays to Thursdays, 9:30 till 4. Tony said it's the Brain Injury Society is probably best described as a community resource. So folk with brain injury can come down and meet with us. We offer a host of different activities and programs, including peer support groups, caregiver support groups. We have our own small community garden. We have musicians on hand who run musical groups. We have a fully equipped kitchen for people looking to redevelop skills in that area. And I think one of the most important things is it creates an environment where people understand brain injury.
Tony, is there anything else that you'd like to add in the last few seconds here?
I guess the main message I would say is it's never too late to try to rehabilitate yourself through brain injury.
Thank you to both of you for taking the time to come in and join us.
Thanks, Kevin.
Mark Busby is Executive Director of Nanaimo Brain Injury Society, and Tony Van Beert is marking 10 years as a brain injury survivor. You can find the Nanaimo Brain Injury Society online at NBIS, Nanaimo Brain Injury Society.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.